5 years ago, in Pinal County's Juvenile Detention Center in Florence, 926 young people were detained. Last year, that number was just 331. That dramatic drop is the result of a new approach the county is taking to how young people there are screened and detained. This show's Lauren Gilger went down to Pinal County's Juvenile Justice Center to find out how this new approach is working. So, Lauren, that's a pretty big drop in detentions.
Yeah, it really is. In fact, in fiscal year 2016, the Juvenile Justice Center there actually released more juveniles than it detained. They released 359 young people that year and, like you said, detained just 331. And that's because they've implemented a new pre-screening process that determines a young person's threat to the community. When an officer brings someone into detention, they're asked a series of questions and given a score less than 12, and officers start looking at alternatives. They'll call their parents, family, friends, anyone they think they can release this young person to. The idea is to only detain kids who really need to be detained, according to Denise Smith. She's the juvenile court director in Pinal County. She gave me a tour of the detention center recently, and we discussed this new approach.
This is the main area where we house our youth. These are the two pods area here. These kids here are kids that have been in our facility. Some have been in here for a while. These kids tend to stay here a little bit longer because these are the kids who really should be in detention.
So we see some games here. They're on couches now watching a video. There's a ping pong table in the other room. We saw some volleyball courts outside. It sounds like you're trying to keep these kids busy.
We are. We're trying to keep them busy. But one of the things that is most important for us here in Pinal County, and I think it's likewise in all the detention facilities around the state, is that we want to make this as normal as possible, as opposed to it being an institution. And we do that because these kids, you know, when you look at the research says that 25 years of age is when your brain is fully developed. That's what the research is telling us. Well, we have young kids here who are, you know, range in age from 13 to 17, and they're still kids. Yeah. And a lot of the things that we're doing with them here are things that they don't have at home. And so it gives us the opportunity to kind of teach them some skills. This is what it really is like in a normal environment to sit at the table or with friends and family, and it's okay to play games, and my officers will play games with the juveniles. So they're not locking these kids up, and it's not a guard, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. They're more a mentor for these children. And so that's why we have games, that's why we have the programming, that's why we have the ping pong table and the basketball out there. That's why we do that. So these pods, they're 16 beds, so we can hold up to 32 kids. Now, I will tell you that this pod has been closed down because we don't need it. We don't have the juveniles in our facility to have this pod open.
Wow, and so that's changed, right, in recent years. And it sounds like the entire approach to juvenile detention here has changed a lot recently. Can you tell us how?
So what we have done in Pinal County and likewise with some of the other counties is that we've engaged in the Juvenile Detention Alternative Initiative through the Annie E. Casey Foundation. So we've partnered with them. And we have identified various tools, forms that we're using to determine whether or not these kids are really eligible, if you will, quote unquote, to be detained. They should not be here in the facility. And so what we've done is we've established a group of employees who work in our intake unit, and they do the screening. They have a relationship with law enforcement, and we screen those kids out. So I had to say, 5, 6, 7 years ago when we were doing this, we would detain close to 80 or 90 kids in 1 month. And that's because we didn't have a screening instrument. We didn't have an objective instrument telling us, you know, this juvenile should not be in the detention facility. Look for other alternatives. And one of the things that I think is really important is that when we're doing work with kids, we have to be really careful and make sure that we're not adding to the trauma that they've already experienced in their life. And that's one of the things that when we talk about juvenile justice reform, we're talking about doing the right thing with these children. I think that we have to really give thought to that, because these kids, locking them up in a facility and then sometimes having to cuff them because they're not, you know, doing what they should be doing in the facility, we're just adding to their trauma. So we really don't want kids to be in the facility if they don't belong here. Now, I'm not suggesting that the juveniles who are in here, that they're bad children. It's for their own protection. You know, so they're not out there running around, they're not using the substances, they're not subjecting themselves to some really harmful behaviors. So yeah, so we've made a lot of changes here. We don't just, you know, it's not an open door anymore for law enforcement to bring kids and then we say, okay, and bring them in and then they go to court. It's not like that anymore. We have a system in place, have a really good group of staff, and they identify which kids come in that second door and which kids go out, and 90% of them don't stay.
So there's some risk in that though, right? Like, are there ways that you worry that, you know, if you do release somebody, maybe you're releasing them back into an environment that will foster the same sort of behavior?
Well, of course, it's always a worry and it's always a concern. We don't have a crystal ball. And so we don't know, you know, who's going to go out and commit another offense and who's not. One of the things that we do have established in our form that we use is we have some mitigating and aggravating factors. So if a juvenile comes in and there's some real concern that my staff might have about the offense, and there may be some in-between-the-lines things, or they're interviewing the juvenile and there's some things that are just red flagged, where even though the juvenile doesn't score, we will override that juvenile into the facility just because we have some concerns. Mm-hmm. So we're not very black and white, and criminal justice system isn't a black and white system. You know, you've got to have some gray area in there, and now we operate in some of that gray area.
Yeah. Give us some examples of some cases. You said the kids who end up in here, it's often to protect them. What kind of stories have you seen over the years, and how have you seen in recent years this new approach help?
We have homeless juveniles. We've had juveniles where there have been some significant substance abuse, which then leads them into being a victim of human trafficking. And so those are the kids that we'll keep because we have concerns about what's happening with them and their own safety.
So you said earlier that this new approach is the right thing to do by these kids because it's not going to further traumatize them. And you said that you've worked in the system for 30 years, and 30 years ago and even 5, 6, 7 years ago, it wasn't like this. So what are you seeing now that's working about this, and what are your hopes for the future of this approach?
I think that what's working is that we are not really focusing with the kids who are low risk. They're low risk to reoffend. They may have some needs and some high needs, but the needs are mental health needs that the juvenile court isn't really equipped to really truly handle. Back in the day, we didn't think about those things. When I was a probation officer growing up in this organization, we didn't talk about mental health. We didn't talk about kids who have experienced trauma. We didn't talk about those things, where now it has risen to a level where that's all we talk about. One of the things that I can see happening here in Pinal County, at least I'm hoping, is to look at, and I mentioned earlier that we have some kids who are out in the community that don't necessarily need to be detained in an environment where that heavy door closes behind you, but they need something. And so that something is maybe some type of shelter care for these kids until we can get them ready for some type of treatment.
So you'd like there to be more alternatives to detention?
More alternatives to detention. We have an alternative to detention right now in one community that we're piloting right now in Santan Valley. It's an evening reporting center, and we've been using that for our juveniles who are on probation and they're violating technical violations, no new charges, just not going to school or, you know, testing positive for substances. So the hope is with the repurposed model, is that we will look at having this type of shelter care where we can work with the family and work with the juvenile and then get them prepared to work together as opposed to just working with one and not the other.
Denise Smith, Juvenile Court Director here in Pinal County. Thanks for the tour and thanks for the information.
You're welcome.